Lori Houston's News for the Heart is dedicated to helping you give a voice to your own soul. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggles that keep us from awakening to our true essence. Join Lori now as we delve into our heart and soul to find the path that will open us to the possibilities and lead us to the life we love to live.
Good afternoon. This is News for the Heart. And today I have my, probably one of my favorite guests or co-hosts with me. It's Tom Campbell. And we've been having some pretty interesting shows lately. We didn't get to do last week or last month. I hope you're feeling better, Tom. You were off and you had some cold or something was going on.
I had bronchitis and I may still cough just a little during this, but it's much better than it was then. Then I couldn't speak without coughing, but now I can.
Right. And Tom and I like to, you know, discuss the ways we can use his principles to assist us in our everyday life. So the more practical ways of using his work. And so this is a holiday show. So we thought we would talk, we like to talk about the holidays, but I wanted to bring in one of the things that I find, that kind of is my topic for this year is around worthiness. I find that Christmas, the magic of the holidays, it kind of gets stopped a little bit. Yes, there are a lot of people feeling kind of lonely, and there are a lot of people, really don't like the season because maybe they don't feel they have the money to purchase gifts and stuff. But one of the issues that I think affects a lot more people than we realize, and obviously it's unconscious in most of the cases, but it's around this worthiness that, you know, definitely as children, our worthiness was kind of conditional on, you know, being good. And then, you know, we would be good and then things still wouldn't go our way necessarily. So then we thought, you know, we were doing something wrong. But when it comes to the holidays, you know, we were all sort of encouraged to write to Santa or go to the Santa mall and give them their list. And if we didn't get what we wanted on the list, and then we thought maybe we weren't, you know, we were on the naughty list or we weren't good enough. So our worthiness around this time of the year, and definitely, I think, unconsciously for a lot of us, worthiness is kind of an underlying fear that gets brought up at different times. Certainly around the holidays, it's brought up a lot. But I think it's underlying a lot of our fear, just not feeling worthy. So let's chat about that.
Okay. The feeling of unworthiness is, that's another name for a fear, yeah. Right? We talk about fear a lot. And when you're feeling unworthy, it's the fear of not being worthy. That is the problem. And you've often heard the phrase that you can't love anybody else until you love yourself. And I think we've talked about that. And that's not really a very good way of putting it. I'd rather put it that you can't really care about anybody else or love anybody else if you don't like yourself. I think that's more to the point. If you don't think yourself worthy, if you don't think yourself adequate or lovable or, you know, interesting enough that other people want to be around you or so on, if you have these negative attitudes towards yourself, then it's very hard to give anything to anybody else because you really don't feel like you have anything to give. And if you don't feel like you have anything to give or you don't have, you know, a whole lot to offer other people, then you're kind of stuck. It's really hard to go anywhere. The only real place to go when you feel like that is into depression, you know, and we don't want to go there. You know, that's obviously more of the same, where that feeling just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And eventually that is called depression.
Right.
Then you feel depressed. So I guess we could say that this feeling of being unworthy is kind of a very mild state of depression.
Right.
In the sense that it's a fear that you have that you're not in some way adequate. And, you know, the way reality works is that you, when you have a fear, you tend to do and say those things that manifest your fear, that actually make the things you fear come true. So let's say you feel unworthy, so therefore you decline invitations, you don't want to go, you don't want to socialize, and pretty soon people stop asking you.
Right.
You see, now they stopped asking you, not because they think you're unworthy, but because they think you don't want to come, that you're not interested in their company. You know, if you were, you would have come the last time they asked you. So pretty soon they don't. And now your fears, you see, have come true. People are not asking you to come to events and do things because, in your mind, they find you unworthy. But that's not it at all. It's because of your own behavior has created the very thing that you fear. So that's the way it is with fear. We manifest our fears into physical reality by the things we say, the things we feel, the things we do. So if you have a fear of being inadequate, if you have a fear of being unlovable or not quite good enough, that will make you act in such a way that you create kind of negative interactions with other people. And eventually those other people then aren't going to want to be around you, not because you're not good enough, but because you're negative. You're always feeling down and you're not happy and you're not up. You just kind of sulk in the corner. And that, like I said, creates exactly what you fear. So it was, I'm not sure who said it. Maybe it was Roosevelt said that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And I think that is true. It's the fear is the problem.
Right.
And that's not somebody else's problem. In a sense, it's not somebody else's fear. It's your fear. And the only person that can get rid of your fear is you. So it's really not about other people in that sense. It's about you dealing with that fear and realizing that you do have value. You are worthwhile. You are adequate. All of that negative is just smoke and mirrors. It's the way you feel. And typically it's the way you feel because of something that happened to you when you were small.
Right.
Some little thing that the adults in that scene didn't even notice or didn't think anything of it. It was such a small thing, but you as a child, it was a big thing. And it's those big things as a child that really are small things in a bigger picture that leave us feeling inadequate and not really so lovable.
Right.
We have to accept those fears, realize that it is our fear that's making us feel that way. It's not that we are inadequate. It's that we fear we're inadequate. Those are two different things. And if you feel inadequate or you feel unworthy, that's a fear. It has nothing to do with you being unworthy or inadequate. It just has to do with you feeling that way. The fear. So once you admit that it is the fear, your fear, then you have to get rid of that fear. And you do that first by owning it and saying, yes, okay, that is me. I do have this fear. And you may go back and try to find out, you know, what happened, whether it was a disappointment in your life, you know, whether your sibling, got the toy and you didn't, whether you got scolded for something that you didn't do and always felt, resentful or whatever about that. There's all kinds of things that happen. And very sensitive children tend to internalize those. And, you know, 30, 40 years later, they still have that same feeling of failure that they had when they were 5 or 6. And that fear then makes them act and say things that creates that fear, remanifests that fear in their life as an adult. So you own your fear. You admit that you have it. If you can, you can find the source and see, you know, what was it that first made you feel that way? sometimes when you realize it was such a trivial event, that it really was in the mind of the beholder, it was in the mind of the child, not actually because people didn't think you were adequate or people didn't love you or care about you. That's just the way it seemed to you as the child. And it's a child's vision, and therefore kind of easily you can, as an adult, you can look at that and let go of it more easily that way. But even if you can't find it, that doesn't matter. You don't have to find the initial cause of the fear. You can just decide that you don't want it anymore. You don't need it anymore, and start focusing your intent on not having it anymore, which means that as you feel that feeling coming up, like, oh, I don't think I'll go, you know, nobody will really miss me if I don't show up anyway. And it's not going to be that much fun because I'll just stand in the corner and talk to myself or one or two other people. And besides, it's all so shallow anyway. And, you know, I don't want to go, just a lot of small talk and shallowness. And it just makes me feel worse because there's no real connections going on there. It's just a lot of small talk. So you make up all these excuses. And when you find yourself doing that, you need to just catch yourself and say, that's my fear talking. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to have that fear. And then just push on through it. Go anyway. Even if you feel like, you know, it's not going to be all that much fun, go anyway. Talk to people, connect, laugh, you know, get involved, get engaged with what's going on, whether you feel like it or not. Just go do it. And then you'll find out later, wow, that was a lot more fun than I thought. And so on. You see, you start building now a reputation of being fun. You know, you were contributing to the conversation, and they'll be sure and invite you next time, or, you know, you'll have a closer relationship. Maybe some of those people you talk to, you can go to lunch with the next week. So it'll start to create your social connections again. And that's really what we need, is these social connections. We're social animals, and we need to connect with other people. And if we start to, you know, become recluses, you know, we become hermits, you know, because we feel bad about ourselves and don't feel like we contribute much and nobody likes us anyway, well, that just makes all that come true. If you get out there and do it, in other words, have the courage to just say no to your fear and go do it anyway. And keep doing that. And if it turns out the first time or two that it doesn't work very well, well, go do it anyway again. Just keep doing it, and you will find that it will start to work. And you can move out of that depression, out of that feeling of sadness, into something that's much, much, much better. So that's the, you know, that's the kind of the solution to the problem. It's courage. It's owning it. It's facing it. It's realizing that it's fear, that it's not you being inadequate. It's that your fear of being inadequate. It's just the fear. And people, once they grasp that idea, then the rest of it is a lot easier to do. So I think that's part of our problem with Christmas, is this inadequacy, this feeling of unworthiness. But another part is that we get, you know, we tend to ruminate, and we tend to think a little bit around holidays about maybe relationships in our life and how we're doing. You know, around the first of the year, we also feel that way. You know, it's kind of a time for reflection. And when we do, we'll often see the shallowness of it all. We'll see the commercialness of it all. That, yeah, there's a bunch of people who go buy presents for everybody else because they have to, because that's expected of them. And there's very little heart left in it anymore. And you get this kind of feeling. Well, that's because other people have that feeling, and they're kind of withdrawing their heart from it too, because that same idea of it being shallow. What you do to fix that is you just go have fun. You connect with people. You make sure the things that you get are things you think are significant for that person. And you show, you know, don't be afraid to show your feelings, to show your emotions, to say thank you, to give people hugs, have a good time. And you'll see that if you start having a good time, everybody else will start having a better time too. everybody else will start connecting at a deeper level and won't be so superficial. Because everybody out there is hungry for contact, hungry for communication, hungry for relationship. It's like a bunch, you know, you go to these little dances they have in middle school, and you see all the boys stand on one side of the room and all the girls stand on the other side of the room, and they're both just starving for a little interaction, you know, with the opposite sex, but they're afraid. Nobody wants to put themselves out there. So it's a very awkward time at that 12, 13, you know, year old, getting to know you, opposite sex thing. Well, that's sort of the same thing that's going on in families and you know, in social situations over the holidays. We're thrown into events with a lot of people, and we're kind of standing on the sidelines, don't want to, you know, be the first one out on the dance floor. We don't want to really engage unless somebody comes and engages us, and everybody's feeling that way. So you see, we just need some icebreakers, and you can be the icebreaker just by interacting. Have the courage to step out there. Have the courage to make the first move, to tell the first joke, you know, to, you know, walk over to somebody you don't know and introduce yourself. And eventually you'll feel better and better about yourself if you do those things. But it may take your courage to start. So it's a time when a lot of people are feeling inadequate, and that this Christmas holiday stuff is very shallow and doesn't have much meaning and blah, blah, blah. Well, a lot of that is just an excuse that we tell ourselves so we don't have to go, you know, to the party, or we don't have to go to grandma's house or whatever else. A lot of that is just our own justification for our own, you know, very mild, I guess, version of depression around the holidays. Right. So just tell yourself, no, I'm not going to let my fear do that. I'm going to have the courage to just go out and interact and see what happens. And if you do have that courage, you will find that what happens is that you have the best holiday season ever, because you're engaging, and engaging is what it's all about. That's the whole point of it, engaging with other people. Other people are important. Ask about your, you know, your relatives or whatever, and see how they are doing. Get to know them as human beings, as people, not just somebody you're obligated to have a party with once a year, but get to know them, connect with them, find out what's really important in their lives. And if they don't ask you about your life, that's okay. You'll find out something important about them, and that will make you closer. That will be real. And that's what we really want, is realness in our interactions with other people. But we have to be real to create that. And saying, well, I'll just wait until everybody else is real first, that doesn't work. It's like all the 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds on opposite sides of the gym, right, waiting for somebody to have the courage to talk, you know, to somebody of the opposite sex, because they're all very insecure and feeling, you know, self-conscious. Well, we act the same way around the holidays. We get very self-conscious of our interactions with people. But we need to take the opposite viewpoint. It's a time that we can renew those relationships by going out and engaging them.
Sorry. Yeah, I think also we kind of get caught up in, like, this is a really magical time. And if we get into the heart of giving, instead of really often we focus on, I guess, because we were disappointed, because we felt unworthy, we kind of, we almost, and of course this is unconscious, but we almost manipulate, you know, our gift giving in hopes that we will get something better. Or, you know, it's like we give to receive instead of just giving to give, because it's connecting in with that beautiful energy that's around in the holidays. And so we kind of get caught up in just the old stuff. And, you know, you sort of mentioned about, you know, giving with your heart and doing it from a place of, you know, just connecting with the people instead of, you know, and that's the thing, like, it's not so much about, you know, how much you spend. It's, in fact, some of the best gifts are not something you spend. It's going out and going skating or, you know, doing something fun that is, you know, together instead of necessarily, you know, or making something that's more from the heart or, you know, creating something. I mean, these are the things that give meaning, but because of our past conditioning and because of the way the media portrays Christmas and the holidays, it's like it becomes, you know, the who can outdo who, and it no longer is about just the magic that is available, that way of wanting to give and to just because, you know, just connecting in with that great energy.
Yeah, well, the giving is a very nice thing, and that's where the magic of the holidays come from, is based on the giving. But the giving doesn't have anything to do with presents, doesn't have anything to do with, you know, spending money or buying things. The giving is about you engaging with other people.
Right.
And that's the giving that really counts. It's, yes, the gifts are traditional, and yes, we exchange gifts, and that's a nice symbol for caring about other people, but it is just a symbol or a metaphor. What's really important is how you connect with people.
Right.
Don't stay in your shell, you know, feeling all alone in a crowd. You need to reach out and connect with people, and you can do that if you care about them. You see, if you're waiting for other people to come and talk to you or connect with you, then it's about you. It's all about, you know, it's all about you, and you're there, and now who's going to come and talk to me? And oh, nobody wants to talk to me. Oh, I must be unworthy. You see, you get into that sort of thing. It needs to be about other. It needs not to be about you. As long as it's about you, you're going to be disappointed, and you're going to feel like, you know, oh, it was a bummer. You know, it was a downer. If it's about you, you have to grow up and not be in that, you know, self-centered, childish viewpoint. You have to make it about other. Find out about how others are doing, what's going on in their life. Be connected. And don't just be doing it so that you can start a conversation that then will come back to you. Do it because you care about what's going on in their life. And if you don't care, well, then try harder, you see. Get that courage up. Go find out and ask those important questions. What's going on and what's happening and how's Aunt Sally? And just care about people. As you care about them, you will have more and more fun, and you will walk away from that a lot happier. It's not about what you get that makes you happy. It's about what you can give that makes you happy. So look for ways that you can give, you can be part of it, but you have to give with the, you know, it has to be a real gift. It can't be, well, I'm making a gift so that people will notice how giving I am. You see, that's still all about you.
Yeah.
See, oh, I'll stay and I'll wash all the dishes and, you know, I'll suffer here and wash the dishes while everybody else has a good time. And, you know, that's all about you and your suffering and the attention you're trying to get by, you know, your sacrifice. Well, you need to let all that go. You see, that's still about you. It needs to be about others. Now, you can go wash the dishes, you know, and if it's really because you just want to do that because, you know, that's something you can do while other people do other things, that's fine. That is a gift. That is a giving thing. So it's not what you do that's really important. It's why you're doing it. It's the intent behind it. Whether you wash the dishes or not isn't the point. It's your intent. If you do that as a gift to others and you do it with joy and you know, love in your heart, then that's a wonderful contribution and everybody will appreciate it. But if you do it because you're working, you know, you're angling for some praise or you want people to see how you're sacrificing, then people will also realize that that's what you're doing, and they'll just ignore you and let you wash the dishes by yourself and never even say thank you. because they have this sense that you're just, you know, working a scam on them, and doing the dishes is part of, you know, the scam you're working, trying to get them to say something nice to you. And that isn't good, because people will recognize it. So you just be yourself, be honest, be authentic, and care about other people. Make it about other people. So whatever comes to you to do or to say or to be or how you connect, you know, do you hold the baby while the mother takes a break and get something to eat, you know, or whatever you do, do it just because you want to, not because you feel like you should, or because you think it'll gain you some, you know, some points. Just do it because you want to. So first, you have to know what it is you want. And that's called becoming authentic. Once you're authentic, then you'll know what you want to do, and you can just do it, and everything will start to work well for you then. Everything will pull together. So it's that courage, the letting go of fear, being authentic, you know, having the right motivations, and letting go of the self-centered, woe is me, and you know, nobody pays much attention to me. I come to these things and I'm invisible. You know, all of that self-centered stuff is what causes you to be invisible. It's what causes, again, you act and say things in such a way as to create your fear, as to create your fear in a physical form. You manifest that fear because of, you know, the things you do when you're fearful. So that's the package. You got to realize it's fear that's the problem, not you. Realize that you can get rid of that fear with intent. Then go engage people because it's about them, not about you. And if you can somehow do all of that, you'll have a really, really happy holiday. And not only holiday, but do that the whole year around. You'll get along with your coworkers and your spouse and everybody else a whole lot better. And your life will start to go from mildly depressed to joyful and very, very positive. So the key to changing, the key to getting out of this kind of funk that often people, they have it all year round. They just see it during the holidays, because during the holidays, we're thrown together in these social situations, and then it all becomes too hard to ignore, you see. So we notice it, but we're like that all the time. It's not that the holidays make us sad. It's just the holidays kind of push our sadness in our face to where it's hard not to see it, whereas we make excuses for it and don't pay attention to it and you know, ignore it the rest of the year. It's not that we change and that Christmas or the holidays are a down time for a lot of people. That's just when we notice it, you see, because we're kind of pushed into social situations during that time. Well, the problem is yourself. It's not the commercialization of Christmas. It's not that everybody's shallow. It's not that you're inadequate. None of those things are really true. The truth of it is you have a fear. That fear is causing you to act in ways that are self-focused. That self-focusedness, that self-focus, that self-focus is creating and manifesting your fear. So that's the chain of events. And you can break that chain of kind of down on the holidays just by letting go of that self-centeredness, telling that fear to go away, catching yourself whenever that fear comes to you, having the courage to just push on and focus and care about other people. Not pretend, not act, but actually care about other people. That's what you can do. And that's not something you can just make your mind up and do on a dime. You know, that's something that takes some work and some time, and maybe a couple of holiday seasons, or you can work on it all year long, and it will make your life a lot happier all year long. It's not really a holiday thing. It's just that we're forced to deal with it more on holidays than we are other times. We can kind of shun it and ignore it and deny it other times. Holidays, it's a little tougher, because the holidays are very social, and it's in social situations that is where kind of the joy and the depression comes from. It's about people. And if you have your mind right and you get rid of your fear, then that social situations will be the highlight of your year. They will be the things you look forward to. And if they're not, then that will be a scary time that you know, kind of dread and want to get over. So that's all your own choice. And it's not everybody else. It's not the sterility of the, you know, of the social interactions. It's not that it's all forced and commercial. That's not the problem. The problem is inside your own consciousness, inside your own mind. It's your own fear. That's the problem. And it's a similar problem for most everybody else. You know, back to the teenager standing on opposite sides of the room, afraid to make the first move. A lot of people feel that way. They go to social situations and they're not sure, is this going to be a downer? Is this going to be a waste of time? Or is this going to be fun? And everybody's waiting for somebody else to make it fun for them. Right. And that's not the way it works. And you don't have to do something zany. All you have to do is just really care about somebody. Talk to them, but not in a superficial way. Oh, yeah, the weather sure is nice tonight. You know, that doesn't get very far. But ask how they're doing and care about how they're doing and how their children are doing and how grandma's doing. And if you care, then they'll know that you care. And when they see and they feel that somebody really cares about them in their life, well, they start to open up. And pretty soon the situation and the conversation becomes interesting, not shallow anymore. But if they see you're just being nice, saying those polite things that you're supposed to say, and you really don't mean any of it, you know, then they're really not going to tell you anything. They're just going to send back to you some plain vanilla, you know, small talk that doesn't mean anything. And you'll pass your whole evening in plain vanilla small talk that doesn't mean anything to anybody, because everyone else is waiting for somebody else to show that they really do care. Well, you can change that just by caring. And then that person will tend to open up, and then the next one will. And pretty soon the whole thing, the whole event will change its character just because you are authentic.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I know we talk about this a lot. I mean, it's really simple. It's just not always that easy.
Yeah, you just say hard to do.
Yeah.
That's the way most of these things are that we talk about. But you can do it. It just takes that courage, that understanding, and then just do it and see what happens. And if it happens, great, then you get your reward immediately. If it doesn't work out so well, well, do it again. Don't be easily put off, because this will work. It always works, but not always immediately. You have to work at it a little bit. You have to do it. You know, people are surprised if you actually talk to them like you care. I shouldn't say like you care. If you really care when you talk to them, you know, at first they may not really believe it, because nobody talks to them like that. You know, everybody's being superficial. So it may take them a little while before they actually realize that you do care. But once they realize you do, wow, things will change. But they may not change instantly. You know, it may take a little while, but you'll have a better time anyway, because you'll be giving even if others don't. And you get your happiness from giving. So if you go and you care, even if everybody else, you know, at this event is being very superficial, you'll still come back from it feeling good, because you connected with people. You cared, you gave, and that will make you feel good. If all you do is pretend to care, or just, you know, say those nice, polite things that everybody's expected to say, then you'll come back and you'll be empty, because you were empty. Right. You will end up with whatever it is you give. If you give emptiness, you'll walk away with emptiness. If you give part of your heart and your love, then you'll come back with a heart full. Doesn't matter what the other people do. See, it's not about the other people. It's about you.
Right. And I think, you know, part of what you've already talked about, I mean, again, really simple. It really is about other instead of, I mean, most of the time we're focused on what we think we want or what we think we need or how we perceive everything that's going on around us, which typically has a lot of fear mixed in around it, but it's usually, you know, what, you know, if I talk to this person, what am I going to get out of it? Or, you know, when I go to this, you know, this get together, what, you know, what can I expect? And we really get focused more on, you know, how can we feel good or how can we feel happy instead of, you know, what can I do for you? And I, you know, it's funny, lately there's been a lot of LinkedIn kind of requests, and when they come, you know, it's like, oh, what can I do for you? And I'm like, you know, you start to say it sometimes and it's like, yeah, it just seems to be the question now. What can I do for you? They're not really there to listen. They're still thinking that if they can do something, then it's a sale or something to that effect. But it's, you know, we get to that place where we're very usually quite cynical, and, you know, we stop really listening. And when we talk to people, it comes from, you know, talking to them, what can we get, instead of how can we serve, how can we give, how can we love.
Mm-hmm. And we don't have to get anything back. See, it's not a matter of getting back. Cynicism comes from self-centeredness.
Right.
If you're not self-centered, you're not going to be cynical. So cynicism is centered around self. Oh, you know, here I am in this world of shallow, you know, intellectual numbness. You know, how can I exist in this world full of zombies? You see yourself as being a real person and everybody else as being fake. You see, that's self-centered. That's a very self-centered viewpoint. And all those other people out there are probably looking at you and thinking the same thing, you know, that they're real people and you're one of the zombies. And if you think about it, the way you act to those other people, then they have a good point, you see. And nobody wants to give enough of themselves to make you feel good. Well, you have to feel good on your own by getting rid of that self-centeredness. Depression is self-centeredness.
Interesting.
When you're depressed, it's because it's all about you. People not only get focused on what they want, they get focused on what they don't have. Mm-hmm. You know, they get focused on, yes, this is what I want, but they see it from the negative side. This is what I need and this is what I'm not getting. I would love to have such and such a kind of relationship. I'd like to have that significant other that's just this fantastic love relationship, but I don't have it. You say, oh, you know, woe is me. And it's not because, of course, there's anything wrong with you. It's because those other people out there are all too selfish. They're all too this, they're all too that, you know, and maybe you feel inadequate that you're not all that, you know, much yourself. And the whole thing then deteriorates into negativity, complaining, you know, focused on what you don't have, focused on your own needs, what you want, you know, what would make you happy? Well, instead, focus on what makes somebody else happy and see if you can't do that. Focus on what you can give, and it really will make your life happy. As long as we try to focus on how do we attain happiness for ourselves, we'll never attain happiness for ourselves, because that's not, you don't go out and find happiness. It's not like happiness is something you can buy or something. If you just look under enough rocks, you'll find it one day and then you'll be happy. It's not like that. You don't go out and get happiness. And it's not just random. You just have to sit and wait till happiness comes to you. It doesn't work that way either. You create happiness by giving, by caring, by loving, by giving stuff away. You know, by stuff, I mean, you know, your time, your attention, your ability to help, however it is that you can, you know, offer value to other people by giving that away and not giving it away with the idea, I'll get something back for this. So I'll say this and be like that to them. And then they're going to turn around and be that way to me. That may or may not work. But if it's a deal, I'll do this if they do that. That's not really giving. That's a deal. It's a manipulation. It's not really giving. So you have to really give. Just give because you want to. And you have to want to Because if you're doing it because you think you should, then it's not going to work. People get that. We are consciousness. We all communicate with each other all the time. It's not body language. It's not spoken language. It's just consciousness to consciousness language. And if you're being nice to somebody because you're trying to manipulate them to be nice to you, they know that. And when you feel like you're being manipulated, that doesn't give you the warm fuzzy. What that does is make you want to back off. So it doesn't work to try to, I'll do this if you do that. You just have to give it away with no expectation of anything coming back to you at all. Give it to you just because you want to. And why do you want to? Because you care. And if you see, if you're self-centered, then you don't care and you don't want to because it's all about you. So it's that self-centeredness that keeps you unhappy. That giving to other people, and people think, oh, well, if I just gave, everybody'd use me. You know, I'd just be used. People take advantage of me. Woe is me. Well, again, that's fear. You're fearful that somebody might use you. It's still all about you. You haven't gotten to the point where you're able to give yet. So it's a matter of growing ourselves up toward becoming love. That's where happiness is. That's where joy is. And you can't get there trying to manipulate it or from a self-centered perspective. It's that self-centeredness that makes you unhappy, that makes you depressed. That's the, you know, that's the that fear creates the self-centeredness. Fear is very self-centeredness. Fear is all about you, your fear. So that's the problem. But like you say, it's not an easy solution, because if you have that fear, you're going to have to work on it. You're going to have a strong intent that you're going to push by it, that you're not going to let it affect your choices. And in a 6 months or a year, you'll beat that fear. The fear will go away and you will be a happier person. And you will be more successful in all your relationships. But it won't happen unless you do the work to make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd like to talk about the magic of this type of this time, because it is about giving and it is about caring. And I think a lot of people, maybe they forget about that magic that's there. I mean, it's there all the time. It's just at this time of year, it seems so much stronger. And it's a beautiful energy. It's just when we, I don't know. I don't know if there's any way for us to really get that we are focusing on us instead of, you know, on other. I don't know if there's any way we can make it clearer about, you know, how people can or what they can do to sort of shift their focus over to caring and giving instead of receiving. It's kind of a funny, you know, there's so many things out there about how the fact that women aren't very good at receiving, but I think it kind of misses the point. Yes, receiving is important, but it only becomes really important when we're able to give with care. I think it just naturally happens if we're in a caring place.
Does that make sense? Receiving, you know, being good at accepting a gift is in a way giving another gift. What you're giving when you are accepting a gift that somebody has brought to you, what you're doing is you're giving them the pleasure of giving the gift. If you go, oh, no, that's too much. I don't, you know, I can't use that, or, oh, I don't deserve that, or that kind of thing. You're depriving them of their own gift, of their own giving. So the receiving is really another form of giving. You see, it's you're giving to them, in that you are thrilled to have whatever it is they're giving to you. That's very nice, because then that makes them feel good. So if you do that because you care about them and you want them to feel good, that'll work. If you do that because you're just faking it, because you're trying to be nice, it won't work. Again, it depends on the authenticity with which you're being. It has to be authentic. Don't say things that aren't authentic. Don't say things just because, you know, that's polite chatter. Say things because you mean it. And maybe that means you don't say much. You may, you know, end up being the silent type, you know, because you may not have a whole lot to say unless it is really authentic and significant and meaningful. Right. But that's okay. Just be silent. And you'll find out that after a while, when you do speak, everybody will listen because you don't say much. But when you do, it's worth listening to because it's something that's real and authentic and significant. And it won't be just mindless chatter. So that's all right. Don't, you know, just be authentic. Be who you are. But first you have to figure out who you are. You know, who am I? Most of us think we are the images that we have of ourselves. Right. You know, we have this image of the way we think people see us and the way we try to act such that people see us the way we want them to see us. And all of that is really not who we are. That's just our image, our persona. Or as you say, that's our story, you know, and we need to get beneath that and find out who we really are and then be that person that we really are. And for most people, that'll be a more loving person than our persona. That'll be a more caring person. But just the magic of the season is the magic of love. Love is the magic. That's the thing that makes the season magical. It's because it's about the spirit of giving, the spirit of you know, thinking about other. It's the social interaction of where you're giving and connecting with other people, but that has to be done from a love-based giving. And it's done, if it's not, if it's done from a, you know, from a social etiquette space, or from a what can I get out of this and what's in it for me space, then it isn't going to be good. It won't turn out to be that neat experience. It only gets really good when it's authentic, when it's caring, and when it's loving. All the magic is love. That's where all the magic comes from. And if we're not on that, if we're not singing that tune, you know, if we're not on that thread that's love, then we come away from it not feeling so good about it, either neutral or down about it. So you have to, grow yourself up first, I guess. And nobody can do that for you but you.
Right. Well, I think this wraps up this show. I can't imagine that we have a shorter show than normal, but it seems to be the right place to sort of end it. It's, you know, take care on this this holiday time, and find ways to love one another and share one another's
Most important, have fun. You see, have fun. That's the thing. Don't go into a social situation about worrying about your image, worrying about what people think of you, worried about what you should say and how you should act, and you know what's the right way to be. Go into it just to have fun, be yourself, connect, interact, care, and it'll all work out really, really well. It'll turn out to be a good thing. If you're, you know, do the kids that are lined up on either side of the gym, you know, are they having fun? No, they're not having fun because they're so full of anxiety that it's not fun at all. Now, eventually, later on in the evening, as that dance gets going, yes, they will start to, you know, get over that anxiety, and they will maybe have fun. But for the first half hour of it, they stand on opposite sides and stare at each other because of the level of anxiety. Now, we as adults have learned how to not show that, but we're actually inside doing much of the same thing. We do just pretty much what we did when we were 12 years old. At that first, you know, sock hop that you get to when you're one of those either preteens or a new teen, we act like that on the inside. We just don't show it because now we're slick on the outside. Okay. Yes, we have something clever to say, and we smile, and we do this, and we do that, and then we go home and think, oh man, that was a drag. So superficial, you know. So there was nothing to it, and you come home and you're exhausted. Whereas if you go and really do have fun, then you'll come home feeling energized. It'll be great. And you'll want to do it again because you really did have fun. So yeah, just be yourself and go have fun. If you think the event's going to be a drag, well, make it fun for you. Just let everybody else do whatever they do with it. You see, they're not your responsibility. You just go have fun. You connect. You interact. You do things that that make it fun for you. And everyone else can just deal with it or, you know, figure out their own thing to do. Don't worry about your image or how you're looking or what you're doing or whatever. That's not helpful. That's more of that fear stuff. Right. It's more of that fear about what do other people think? Do they think I'm too forward or too this or too that? It's like, who cares what other people think? That's their problem. Mm-hmm. You know, you should just go have some fun. Be real. Be authentic. Give, care, and have fun. That's the idea for this holiday, for this holiday spirit. It should be a time of more social interaction than normal. So that's the thing that scares people, all that social interaction. They'll be found wanting. They'll be found inadequate. You know, they'll be found this and that. They don't feel like it. It's so shallow and they, you know, da, 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 all the excuses and all the reasons why. But all of that's nonsense. Just go have fun this season. And if you do, other people will have more fun too, just because you're having fun. Fun is contagious. Giving is contagious. Love is contagious. If you show a little of it, others will begin to have the courage to show a little of it as well. And it's magic. That's the source of all the magic in the world is love. So that's a good thing to try to put in a little extra magic, I guess, in your holidays is let go of that self-centeredness and make it about other people enjoy yourself, enjoy other people. That's where we learn that interaction with other people. That's where we're challenged. That's where we have to let go of that ego and really make it about them and not us. So if nothing else, think of it as an opportunity to learn, an opportunity to grow up through those social interactions.
Yes. Well, have a happy holiday, everybody. And if you want more information on Tom, I know that you can go to his website, mybigtoe.com, or you can go to his YouTube station, which has hundreds now videos. Or you can come to mine and listen to all the shows that we've done. You've been listening to News for the Heart with Lori Houston, and we've been getting to the heart of what matters with Tom Campbell and unworthiness and the holiday magic. So I hope you have a great holiday, and we will be back right before the end of the new year to talk about the thing that we usually do, which is probably drink too much to get through those holidays. And we'll talk about addictions and what we need to do to start the new year off right.
Yeah, and we'll be talking about the New Year's resolutions.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
All of that, looking forward to the next year.
Exactly. All right. We'll be back next month. Thank you, Tom.
You're welcome. Thank you, Lori.
Have a question for Lori and want to be on the next News from the Heart show? Drop us a line via instant feedback at bmajor.org. News from the Heart is brought to you by Intuitive Soul and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channel's iHeartRadio and bmajor.org.